Maseches Trumos, Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph, 5:1. This is the Mishnah where we will finally see explicitly what to do when Truma falls into Chulin, where there's not 100 times of Chulin, to totally annul the Truma. This Mishnah, however, will also consider another complicating factor. What if the Truma that fell in was Tamei, or if the Chulin into which it fell was Tamei, then what? So you'll recall that the rule is when it comes to Tamei Truma, it may not be eaten by the Kohen, but it could be burned and used as a fuel source by the Kohen. So the Kohen could burn the oil he receives as Tamei Truma oil and use it as a fuel source. That's okay normally. In any case, here the Mishnah discusses all the possibilities, and it starts out by saying, Sa Truma Tamei, if you have one measure of Truma, which is Tamei, Shenafel Fachot Memei Chulin, and it falls into a larger container that has less than 100 units of Chulin. So now you have a classic meduma mixture. The truma is not annulled, doesn't become batal, at least not medura banan. And that being the case, the whole mixture is now forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat. And as we'll see in a moment, as we said before, normally what would happen is that the czar, the non-Kohen, would sell this entire mixture to the Kohen, who would eat it, because it's truma mixed in. But here the Kohen can't eat it, because the truma that fell in is truma tamea, it's not Torah truma, and therefore, at most, the Kohen could do is burn it. But as we'll see in a moment here, the Chazal were more strict with meduma than with regular truma, and they said even though while it's true that regular tamei truma can be burned, we will not let the Kohen let this large mixture of meduma, including both tamei truma and chulin together, lest he keep it around a long time in his kitchen as a fuel source and ultimately come to eat some of this, which would be a severe prohibition, a lav, and that being the case, Chazal were more strict and said, in such a case, we won't even allow the non-Kohen to give the whole mixture to a Kohen, rather, the whole mixture is just left to rot. Now, the Mishnah has a lot of words here. The Mishnah, I'm going to guide you through it. It starts out by saying, Sa trumash tmeish nafel afachos memeyat chulin. One unit of truma falls into less than 100 units of chulin. Then it says some other words. I'm going to kind of for a moment, brush over them. Ola Maiser Rishon, Ola Maiser Sheni, Ola Hektesh, Bein Tamei, Bein Tahorin. It doesn't matter if what the Truma fell into is Tamei or Tahor. In all cases, your Kavu, the Halacha is, the mixture is left to rot, because as the reason I said before, otherwise the Kohen might keep the mixture in his kitchen a long time as a fuel source and come to accidentally eat it. And because it's only rabbinic, we're afraid people will be more lax. That being the case, the rabbi said, forget it. In such a mixture, the din is, it's left to rot. Now, we had a bunch of alternates to regular chulin. Regular chulin is simply, food that has been properly tithed. If it's meiser rishon, so then it's food that would still need to be tithed, and normally take the trumas meiser out. Meiser rishon, again, is the portion that goes to the levy, but it doesn't matter here, it's all the same. And same with meiser sheni, which is taken to Yerushalayim, but now it won't be, because it's going to have to be left to rot. And same goes with hektish, that is food that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash as Bedek HaBayit, as like a financial gift, and the Beis HaMikdash would take that gift and monetize it by selling it off again to somebody else and use the money for upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. In all those cases, it makes no difference whether they're Tamei or Tahor. Since you have Tamei Truma falling in, the whole mixture is left to Yirkavu, to rot, again, assuming that you have less than 100 units of the non-Truma mixing with the Truma. Now the next line of the Mishnah considers the other possibility, Vim Tahora Haisa Osam Hasa. If that unit of Truma that fell in was in fact Tahora, so then, this is your classic case, the din is Yemachru Lekohanim B'dmei Truma. The rule is that the whole mixture now can't be eaten by a non-Kohen because it hasn't got 100 times of Chulin with it, and therefore the owner of that mixture can sell the whole mixture to a Kohen, the Kohen could eat it, but he could charge the going price for Truma. As it happens, the going price for Truma will typically be less than non-Truma products, meaning if we're talking about, a container of grain, so a normal container of grain might, for argument's sake, cost $10 a container, but if it's Truma grain and it's traded amongst Kohanim, the price would presumably be less, let's say whatever it is, $9 a container. The reason why is because, besides for the fact that the supply and demand curves of Kohanim is different than other people because they are a lot of Kohanim getting Truma. But putting that aside, even if they were identical, the Kohen could always, would under normal circumstances, prefer, all things being equal, to buy Chulin to Truma. Why? because chulin is impervious to becoming tame and inedible, whereas truma always runs the risk of being inadvertently nitma, to be rendered tame, and then it wouldn't be eaten anymore. And since you know that it's got that downside, a kohen would never in his right mind pay as much for truma as chulin. And that being the case, the going price for truma products is less than their counterpart non-truma products. But whatever the going rate is, the point is, for this case, grain, truma grain in the amongst kohanim. So you can charge that full amount to the kohen, but chutz medemei oso sha, chutz medemei osa sa, with the exception of you cannot, the owner of this mixture cannot charge the kohen for the truma component that fell in, because that truma component was mamon hashevet, it belonged to the kohanim. He had to give it to the kohanim, and therefore he can't charge the kohanim for what is rightly theirs. That is to say, for argument's sake, if one container of truma fell into 10 containers of chulin, everything's tahor, you'll have to sell all 11 units now to a kohen for the price of 10 at the prevailing price of truma. So if, for argument's sake, normal containers of grain go for $10, if it's truma grain, it's $9. You have now 11 units here, but you can't charge $99 because one of the 11 is already by rights the kohan, the kohanic family's truma. And that being the case, you can't charge for that 11th one, but you could charge for the other 10. And if the prevailing price is 9 per container, you could charge the kohen a total of $90 for the 11 units of meduma mixture, and the kohen could eat it all, betahara, and that's fine. Now, if what the truma fell into wasn't regular chulin, im lamaser rishon nafla, if what the truma fell into was maaser rishon. So maaser rishon, you'll recall, is the gift that goes to the levi. So let's say the levi is the one who has this, and his kid threw it, you know, he has a bucket with 10 barrels of wheat, that's maaser rishon wheat, that needs to be tithed, meaning trumas maaser, 10% must be taken out. But let's say the levi's kid threw in another barrel of trumas maaser into the 10 maaser rishon. So you have a container with 11 units of grain, one of which is trumas maaser, and the other, or truma gedola, doesn't matter, and the other 10 are maaser rishon. So you can't just now give it to a kohen just like that, because there's still a separate mitzvah to tie the maaser rishon. Maaser rishon has to have a tenth taken off as trumas maaser, and that being the case, im la maaser rishon nafla, if what that one unit of truma fell into was maaser rishon, yikra shame le trumas maaser. He, the levi, must still be kore shame, designate one-tenth of his maaser rishon in the mix to be trumas maaser. So for argument's sake, again one more time, if let's say you have a levi who has 10 units of maaser rishon, some one unit of truma gedola falls inside of it, he has a total of 11 now, he will have to declare and say, one of the 10 units of maaser in this mixture should be trumas maaser for the mixture, and now he'll have a mixture that still has 11 units, one will be truma gedola, one will be trumas maaser, nine will be maaser rishon, and he'll sell all of that to a kohen, but now of the 11, he can only charge the kohen for 9. Right, because one of them was Truma Gedola and one was Truma Meiser, and that belongs to the Kohen anyway, so the Levi can't charge for that. Fine. A second additional pshat, not really a conflicting pshat, but a different pshat, is the Levi could, if he wanted to, in the very scenario I described to you, he could sell that container of 11 units of grain to a Kohen for the price of 9, but you recall that the price of 9 wasn't, if for argument's sake, the going price of grain is $10 per container. Under if it was chulin, so the levy couldn't charge that because this has got the truma restriction, so he'd only charge the reduced price, let's say, for argument's sake, if it's $9 per container of truma, so the levy could only, for this the 11 he has in this mix, one is truma gedola, one is truma smicer, he can't charge for those. The remaining 9 are meiser rishon. He could charge for those, but only at the price of truma, and that being the case, he could only charge not 10 per unit, but rather 9 per unit. So he only gets $81 back. And if he would have eaten it himself, he could have gotten $90 of value because normal grain is worth $90, not $81 for 9 units. That being the case, the levy might want to rather, instead of giving the whole mixture to a kohen at the reduced price of truma, what the levy could do is say, listen, I had a container with 10 units of Maaser Rishon. One unit of Truma Gedola fell in. Now I can't eat any of this 11 in the mixture. But what I could do is say, listen, I'll bring 90 more units of Maaser Rishon that I have from other sources. I'll bring it all next to this container of 11 with the mix. And I'll say, listen, in the container with the mix, I have a total of 10 units of Maaser Rishon. Now, one of those 10 should be Trumas Maaser for the 10. And also the other 9 should be Trumas Maaser for the other 90 I brought nearby. And therefore what he does is he localizes his Trumas Maaser obligation only in the 11, the mix of 11. So now he'll give all 11 of the mix to the Kohen. It will all be Trumas Maaser or Truma Gedola. The Kohen can eat it as is. He gets it for free. But the Levi then needs to sell nothing at a discount to the Kohen. He can have all of his remaining 90 sah to himself, which before he would have had to give 10% of the way and only get 81. So now he can get the total 90 for himself and he loses nothing economically. That would be fine to do. That's the second explanation of what it means here. If it's Maaser Rishon that into which the Truma fell in, Yikra Shem, the Truma Maaser, he could use that as the source onto which he redeems his other Maaser Rishon from elsewhere. Now, the Maaser Sheni, Ola Hektish Nafla, if what the Truma fell into was a container, let's say, of 10 units of Maaser Sheni or of Hektish, so then, Hare Eli Yipadu, they must be redeemed. So let's just do one at a time. Maaser Rishon is the second tithe, which is the food is taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there. B'tahara, that's the requirement. But one has the option of redeeming the Kedusha of his Maaser Sheni onto a coin, and then or coins, and then bringing those coins up to Yerushalayim, and then using the coins in Yerushalayim to purchase new foodstuffs. And when he does that, he transfers the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni onto the coins and deconsecrates the Maaser Sheni. That's called Pidyon, and that's fine. So you can't give Maaser Sheni to the Kohen to eat, because he also would have to eat in Yerushalayim, and it would have the various restrictions of Maaser Sheni. And that being the case, if it's into Maaser Sheni that the Truma fell, so one must, before selling it to the Kohen for the price of the Chulin, the non-Truma component, he must first deconsecrate that Maaser Sheni onto a coin. And the same goes if, instead of being Maaser Sheni, it was Hektish into which the Truma fell. So then Hektish means that a person consecrated his property to be the property of the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking here about bedek habayis, meaning it's a monetary gift. It's something that has what, in my words, I call extrinsic kedusha. That means to say the grain that's been given to the Beis HaMikdash isn't intrinsically kadosh. It's just meaning it's not permanently as a part of the very fabric of the material kadosh. No, it's imbued with kedusha because it's Beis HaMikdash gift and property. But given the case that it's only bedek habayis, meaning extrinsic kedusha, there's the possibility of transferring the kedusha from the hekdesh onto something else, let's say money. Meaning, just parenthetically, that's not possible if it were intrinsically kadosh, meaning if it was something that was dedicated to be brought as a korban, for example, then you couldn't deconsecrate it. But since this is just bedek habayis, and it was just a monetary gift to the Beis HaMikdash for Beis HaMikdash upkeep, you could deconsecrate it. So here the case is, the fellow had 10 units of flour. He said this flour should be a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. He makes it hektish, but then before he can give it to the Beis HaMikdash, one unit of Truma falls in. So you have 11 units now, 10 of hektish, 1 of Truma. He can't just give that to the Kohen because the Kohen can't eat hektish either. What he'll have to do is first deconsecrate and say wherever the 10 units of hektish are in this mix of 11, that Kedusha should be redeemed from those 10 units and be put on a coin or coins, whatever it is, the value of the 10 units. And then now he can sell the total of 11 mix to a Kohen for the price of 10 units of Truma. And then he can use that money that he deconsecrated the Hektish to give to the Beis HaMikdash, etc. That's fine. So fine. Now, the final case here is what happens if im temeim hayu osa chulin. What happens if the Truma, the one unit of Truma that fell into less than 100 units of Chulin, creating the Meduma mixture, what if the Truma was Tahor, but the chulin into which it fell was tameh? So now this can be given to the Kohen. It must be given to the Kohen. It can be sold to the Kohen, again, for the price of the non-truma component. The problem is that there's a separate issue. You now have, let's say, grain of chulin and truma mixed together, where the chulin component is tamei and the truma component is tahor. So there's a separate restriction that the kohen is not allowed to be metame. He can't allow for the truma to become tamei. Now, just because the chulin is tamei and mixed with the truma, which is tahor, doesn't mean that the truma becomes tamei automatically. No. And even if they're in direct contact, for foodstuffs, including truma, to become tamei, the food, the ochin, must first have hechsher, it needs to be ready to become tamei. And the way that happens is that the foodstuff, the truma in this case, becomes wet with one of seven mashkin, seven liquids that effect hechsher, that ready foodstuffs to become tamei. And that wetting can't be something you really object to. So this requirement called chiyuton, but it doesn't matter. The point is, until the truma becomes wetted, it's impervious to becoming tamei. The snag is, of course, when you make bread, let's say, you'll end up taking that truma, grinding it up with the chulin, and you'll add water to make your dough, and at that point, you've wetted the truma, it becomes tuma susceptible, and then it will be in direct contact with the chulin, which is tamei, and then the truma becomes tamei, which is no good. So that's one point. So another, just remember, for foodstuffs, ochlin, including truma, to become tamei, it must have hechsher, it must be wetted first by these seven liquids. These seven liquids, by the way, are the mnemonic to remember them is yad shachat dam, which doesn't mean anything. It literally means hand slaughters blood. It's just a mnemonic. Those seven letters stand for the seven liquids that can effect hechsher, that can ready food to become tamei. They stand for, the yod is for yayin, wine. The dalet is for dvash, that's bee honey. The shin is for shemen, that's oil, olive oil. The chet is for chalav, that's milk. The tet is for tal, that's dew. The second dalet is for dam, blood. And the final mem is for mayim. So those are the seven, only those seven liquids can ready food to become tamei, meaning generic fruit juices, meperos, like apple juice, let's say, does not. So if your grain gets wetted by apple juice, it's not yet huchsher lekabel tuma, it's not yet ready to be mekabel tuma. Now, one other halach you have to know about the transmission of tuma is that for a food to convey tuma, it must be of requisite size, and the requisite size is a kebetza, the volume of an egg. If you have less than a kebetza volume, less than an egg's volume of food, even if that food is tamei and it comes in direct contact with other food, it cannot convey its tuma. It's separate din all to itself. So here the Mishnah is going to say, im tameim hayo osen achulin. If the truma, which was tahor, fell into tamei chulin, and it's the same if it's maiser risho, maiser shein, or hektish, you have to do the same things in the previous line of the Mishnah, but that's not the point here. The point is, what do you do about the tuma component? So the Mishnah says, going to say now, do what you got to do to make sure that when the Kohen eats this mixture, he doesn't allow his truma to become tummy. How will he do that? Either yi'achlu nekudim, he can eat it, according to Bartanur, nekudim means dry, since it never got wet, no possibility of transferring tuma. Others are nekudim means in very small batches. The dough is in very small batches, meaning you're capping it at the size that there couldn't be one egg volume worth of tamei chulin in the dough, so very small, in the kuda, a very small batch of dough. Oh, klaios. Klaios means roasted, like dry roasted. So we think of honey smacks you have in America. In Israel, they call them shalva. It's like puffed wheat. So we're talking about that. So by roasting wheat and it becomes puffed wheat, you cook it and it's edible and it's tasty, but it's dry, bone dry. And that being the case, there's no possibility of this wheat ever becoming tamei and transferring the tamei chulin to the tahor truma, because eating again dry roasted. Oh, yiloshu b'mei peros. Third possibility is when you make your dough that's made up of flour that came from some grain which was tamei and some that was tahor, the tamei being the chulin, the tahor being the truma, the Kohen's doing this, when he adds the liquid to make the dough, he shouldn't add regular water because that would be machshir and ready the food to become tamei. Rather, you should use meperos, fruit juice. By using fruit juice, apple juice or strawberry juice or pomegranate juice, whatever, then the bread that's made from such a mixture isn't tuma susceptible and it can't be a transfer of tuma. And finally, the fourth possibility is O yischalku leisos kadesh lo yehe b'makom echad kabeitza. Your fourth possibility is you could divide up this flour mix that includes both tahor, truma, and tamei chulin into other flour containers. So in other words, you just add a little bit of, you spread your flour out amongst other containers of flour, such that you didn't put a kabeitza's worth of tamei flour into any of your other batches. So again, the point is that you never have a kabeitza worth of tamei grain or flour, which could be a tumah source to convey tumah to your truma. So therefore, your truma remains tahor. And yes, that's the end of that.